And one thing I'm going to say to you before, in case I run out of time to forget it, if you don't have this book, Good Homes in a Wicked World by Irving Lee, it's still in print. And if you don't have one, buy one. And use it and read it. It's excellent material, Bible-based material. And if you've got any kinfolks, young ones, they're getting married, you know, this would be an excellent wedding gift for them. So I would encourage you to get one of those. I've read that several times in the last several years, and it is Bible-based, and Brother Lee is just a good down home Bible-based person. And Good Homes in a Wicked World by Irvin Lee. Brother Lee's long gone to his reward, but it's still in print. All right, mother's role. First of all, we want to list and discuss the God-given responsibilities for the mother in child rearing. Anybody want to name one?
Well, be sure to read Proverbs 31.
Yeah, amen. Well, we're gonna hit that a few times tonight.
Love your husband.
All right. Love is one I got down. Love the husband. Titus 2 and verse 4 says that the older women admonishing the younger one, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, it might seem strange to most of us, but they're told to love their husband. And this word used here is phileo. And phileo, according to Vines, is a tender affection, an unselfish love, ready to serve, cherishing, a sacrificial love. And it's much more than a romantic love that we normally think about. And it's a love that can be taught, Titus says here, to teach the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. And you might be thinking it's strange to teach to love, but not really. Love can be taught. And we've talked about love earlier, that love grows. And that's one of the responsibilities of a God-fearing mother, is to love their husband and their children. Kevin. Amen.
And I don't know if that's something that is a focus. I know in the world it's not a focus, but it might be creeping away in churches today or Christians today because we're focusing on other stuff. And because I've heard people say, well, there's just not Christian men where we live or whatever. Because I've said that where I grew up, because we didn't have anybody where I grew up. So I moved. And I think that's one thing today that
yeah.
I don't have to deal with that for 40 years when I let her date. But, I'll be gone then, and she can date. But, I think that's something the world, oh, they're a nice person. Well, that's not the qualifications for a strong husband and father. So,
Yeah, earlier on, we hit that a few times when we was talking about the husband, the man and the woman, and the two, and make sure you choose the right godly person to make your mate. But that's a good point to bring that up. You're a little harder on Emma than I was on Dina. I told her she couldn't date till she was 25. But anybody else?
Loving your by the example that she sets, how she treats her husband, how she treats her children. I mean, they learn. You don't, you can certainly teach by word, but just by your example, to show your children what true love is, that it's submission, it's respect, it's
exactly
honor. You know, it's all of those different aspects of love that are addressed in the Bible.
Yeah.
Just to train them to deal with anyone, to deal with, you know, with God or with other people.
Yeah.
But especially daughters, you know, when they're, as they're growing up and when they get to the age to start looking for someone to marry, hopefully you as a mother have already.
They have a standard, don't they? Yeah, yeah. And that's a good point there you hit on. If the mother's got the love of God that she should have, that those other loves are really going to come easy, isn't it? They love God. All right, good comments.
All right. I have a question, brother.
Sure.
If you don't want to have to say so.
Okay.
Did your parents sit down and just talk to you about those things of life and the future with a woman?
No.
Well, I was going to say, mine didn't either, and I seem to find when I talk to other brethren, they seem to have had a problem early on. I can't speak for the current generation. So nobody talked about how, when, what, where, how long, just everything you can think about. Didn't do it.
Yeah. And I think the men have a harder time doing that than the women a lot of times, talking about those basics of life. Yeah, but no, I didn't know anything. Still don't.
Just a comment about that, and discussion should be had, that we demonstrate to our children how you're supposed to treat your spouse.
Amen.
And that's the best way that they can learn, is watching how their parents treat their spouses.
Absolutely.
They
learn by example.
If you had good parents, then learn from them and do the same thing. If you didn't have such good parents, then change your family tree and do it the right way.
There you go. All right. While we're in Titus, oops, got another one.
Manage the household.
Okay, I was just going to go to that one. Managing the household there. And Titus 2 and verse 5, she says, to be discreet, chaste homemakers. King James says, in the New King James, keepers at home. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, in the New King James says, manage the house or home. And the New Testament says, guide the house. So keepers at home. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So just thought I'd throw that in there together. So let's discuss now a little bit what keepers at home or homemakers means. Anybody want to tackle that one? But she's got witnesses.
Yeah, it's recorded. But I think the concept of that is changing from what it used to be. And I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't want to say it's a good or bad thing, I just want to say it's changing. And the reason I say it is I think of my grandfather, and who was born in 1902. And he would raise a glass and just rattle. And grandma would, at 80 years old, would come shooting through and fill it through a tea. And that's not managing the home in 2016. That's a culture that we have adjusted through the years. And I think if that's the type of relationship you're wanting today, and you're now just dating or getting married, you're going to have some trouble for the men and even the women. I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying things have changed. But I do think the idea of our roles as men and women are changing, and that can be dangerous, and we need to be cautious about that. Because today, Rebecca has mentioned that she gets a lot of comments that people are so proud and happy she's able to stay home and with the children. But when we first got married, the comment was, well, what do you do all day? From members of the church. So I think that the idea of women staying home with children is coming back and into something good, because there for a while it was just not do that. I don't know if I'm making my point clear, but I think this doesn't just mean serve your man food and clean the house and everything. It's a more detailed, broader spectrum than just cooking and cleaning and making sure the kids have clothes on.
Yes.
And I think if we're not careful as men, that's what we think it is, and we don't give that the proper respect.
There you go. Barry? We'll be hitting that a little bit more here in just a minute. George?
Like you were saying, the roles have kind of changed since women worked. Now, so what the women used to do all day, if you're at home free, then you got to take over some of that other responsibility.
I think you should bear part of the load, absolutely, yeah.
But the biblical role has not changed.
Amen. God's way is still there.
Mm-hmm. When you have a woman that works outside the home and then also comes home to her family, she has to come to the understanding of what her priorities are. Are her priorities with that career, or are her priorities with her children, her husband, and her family?
Mm-hmm.
Something has to come first.
Amen.
And according to God, we just read here.
Yes.
Got to be your husband, and it's got to be your children.
After God.
Right.
Barry?
That, if you think about what Daniel said, and I agree with that, we have a scripture that talks about a child that gets in trouble and causes fits for things and other things and brings reproach upon the mother. In other words, it's a bad thing for the mother, not the dad, but for the mother. And I always thought that was unusual, and maybe that has to do with the responsibilities of things, kind of like there's some things that Eddie had mentioned before in another class. You know, we will have supper at this time, and you will be there. We won't schedule anything for Wednesday nights or Sunday afternoon, those kinds of things. And sometimes, as has been said, for those that work or think they have to work, and I'm not good, I don't have anything fighting in mind, maybe the mother, as Danny said, don't have time to, and maybe the husband, if there's one in the house, needs to teach, uplift, and save with love.
Okay. Bruce.
A lot of times with what we're talking about, you know, the woman working, coming home, trying
decisions made on how you, what lifestyle you're going to live. And so therefore, you're putting, because you have your toys and your things and living outside your means, now all of a sudden the wife feels like she has to work outside the home. And there's times whenever things may dictate that, medical bills, whatever. But the man has to realize that whenever she comes home, if she put in that much of a day's work, he did too, and he just can't sit around and wait for her to do all these things and make supper. Of course, she's on the phone. In defense, you don't want me cooking very much, but you know, raising the kids, leaving the things up to that. And of course, you know, then we leave the society to raise the kids, we leave the society to educate the kids, and then we kind of wonder what went wrong. And of course, you know, anytime I ever speak, I speak from experience. And because, you know, I spend way too much time working and doing other things.
So, I hear you.
You see that?
Yeah.
You know, the big problem is the breakdown of home, period. Breakdown of families, single parents, where there are no roles. You know, in a lot of households, you have one parent trying to do everything, which is not God's way. And I can speak for myself. I made it a point. I take on two or three jobs just to allow my wife to stay at home. Like Bruce was saying, I was going a lot. That's the way I thought it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's my job to provide.
Yeah. This keeper or home, I put down a few things that I thought about. The woman, the mother, is to keep things running smoothly. It's part of that. She must be a guide. She must direct and train her and her husband's most precious possession, their children. And we'll be talking a lot more about this working here. I've got a question about that. But also, God has provided abilities for the woman to be not only care for the physical things needed for their home, the cooking and the sewing and the mending and the and all that, but also the spiritual and emotional things of her family. And she does this by making her home a place of praise. And what I mean by that, she is always giving God his just dues. She's giving God the glory. She's never taking God's name in vain. And by that, a common saying now is, "Oh my God." That's taking God's name in vain. And also the euphemism, "Oh my gosh," along with many other euphemisms, are taking God's name in vain. And why do we have so much of this kind of talk? You know, somebody gets excited and it's, "Oh my God," you know, and I just cringe every time I hear that. I want to go up and shake them. I said, you know, you're taking God's name in vain. But a woman can control that, and she can look out and praise God if it's raining. And she said, "Oh, you know, God has given us this good rain." I love rain. I prayed one time, it was raining. I thank God for the rain. I had a brother admonish me. Says, "You don't know what you're praying about. It's raining out there. You're thanking God." I said, "I like rain. I enjoy it. We need the rain." And praise for the sunshine. Give God her due. The rainbows. She can show her children the rainbow one and tell the story of the rainbow. And many, many other things. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth." And the mother has to do that for her young children. As was said a while ago, they're looking at the examples. And when they're going to mimic. You know, we talked about the father and the example he sets. Well, the same way with the mother. And she's usually around especially if she's a homemaker. She's usually around the kids a lot more than the father is, unfortunately. The hearts of the children would be more directed to the Lord by the mother, who has a character of praise and thanksgiving. Also, by making her home a place of hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9, Hebrews 13:2, and for sake of time, I'm not going to go and read those, being hospitable, entertaining strangers, and Hebrews says that, you know, you might be, at that time, entertaining strangers, they might be angels that you're entertaining. And we have the examples of Sarah. Remember Sarah in the 18th chapter of Genesis? When the angels, the men that Abram saw out under the oak tree, and they invited them in, and he told Sarah to prepare, and she, you know, she prepared the meal and for him. She was hospitable. Lydia is another case, another example of 16. After she and her household was obeyed the gospel there by the riverbank, and she encouraged Paul and his brethren to come and stay with them. So she had the trait of hospitality. Another thing that the woman can do as far as the home is concerned is a place of teaching, and we hit that a while ago, didn't we? Especially the precious and all-important ages of birth to 5 or 6. I can't emphasize that enough. That is the golden age, mothers, young people. That's the golden age when they will set their posture if you teach them right, according to God's word. And then one more, making the home a place of holiness. A godly mother will teach her children just what it means to serve the Lord. Yes. Read that, please.
Behold, every one that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sister, which loatheth, despises their husband and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. Yes, that's an analytical. God and Jesus both never used bad example for a good analogy.
Yeah.
And so he was speaking the truth there. Some of you all have used it in passes for a lot of years about the apple don't fall far from the tree. And as it has been said by different brothers, they see you, they hear you, they know what you are.
Amen.
And their innocence tells everything.
Yeah. All right, next question. And we've already touched this several times, but I'm going to ask you, does this keeper of the home forbid a mother from working outside the home? No, it does not, does it? We've got the example of Lydia, as we talked about, successful businesswoman with her household. And then we've got the Proverbs 31 woman, and what she did. And I think, although we know this many, many times, and Jacob has had a lesson on Proverbs 31 just recently, an excellent lesson, but I want to touch on a few verses again. Proverbs 31, starting with verse 13. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet dark or night and provides food for her house, whole and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She sees that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Verses 30 and 31, I think is probably the most important verses of the section. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And we touched on that just a minute ago, that the key here is them serving God. And the rest of it becomes easy.
She is very diligent when she's at home, just like verse 27 says. And what I think somebody touched on, made reference to 1 Timothy 5, you know, with the younger widows, what Paul says, those that have lost their spouse, he wanted them to be workers at home, not to be busybodies, not to just sit at home and waste time.
Yeah. I know of several mothers, some of them rather young, who supplement the household income by working from home, just like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. I have a daughter-in-law who is, you know, fits Proverbs 31 to a T. It amazes me. I call her my pioneer daughter. And she's busy. She's babysit. She's making clothes. She's runs a little internet business and to supplement income. But she's doing that all from home with four very faithful children. Very thankful for her. Kevin?
Whether they work inside the home or outside the home, I think the key is what's the reasoning and are they doing it in an appropriate manner?
Yeah, that's key.
I guess that's the way I was always kind of taught. You know, things happen and people have to do what they need to do, but we'll answer for our time that we spend or whatever.
Amen. All right, and some of the disadvantages of the mother working outside the home that I've listed is leaving the children with a babysitter or a daycare. Now, I know mothers who work out of the home, but they don't work out of the home unless they have a very very Christian babysitter that they can depend on. They know what the children are going to be taken well care of, and they're going to be taught, and they you know, seek out a proper babysitter. I would not recommend any mother putting their children in a daycare center. That's just my personal opinion. The time away from children is another point that is a disadvantage to the mother working out of the home. Todd, you got some?
No, just maybe you could explain what the results are if that happens, so that everybody understands what dangers are there by leaving them in daycare.
Well, it's you know, especially the younger years is the key. Is those younger kids are going to be seeing something other than a godly mother doing things. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And at that age, that younger age, is you know, the formative years, and they're going to pick up things that will be set for life. And that's one of the main danger there. And they're not in there. And most daycare centers they hire just anybody they can, because they have a hard time getting people. And that's another fear that would be. Anybody think of any others?
Just to follow up with that, they're going to adopt the personality and the traits of those who they're around, because they're around them more than they are their parents if they're in daycare for 8-9 hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when they go home, they go to sleep.
All right. Another.
You talked about the influence of the mother. Well, if you put them in a daycare, those children are still going to be influenced. Their minds are being molded.
Absolutely.
And so when they are exposed to other children who have maybe ungodly parents or parents that are not Christians, or if they're even exposed to whoever's managing that daycare, they're being exposed to things that their Christian mother probably, we know, would not expose them to.
Right.
So they're being influenced by worldliness and
all kinds of
at
things
at a time when they don't need that.
Right. The formative years.
Right.
Absolutely. Another disadvantage is it could affect a woman's health. Normally, you put in a long day at work, and you come home, and you got another long day ahead of you. And you know, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 was able to manage it. But most women have a hard time, especially if they have a husband that doesn't give them any help, as George was saying there. And another thing that I've seen time and again, possibly be drawn away from the Lord and her family. 1 Corinthians 15:33. I've seen young women, young mothers, go into the workforce for whatever reason and fall away.
Amen.
More so than not. That's the greatest fear that I see for that. So also, we've got some advantages of mothers who work outside of the home. They may have to assist the family income when her husband has a disability or is laid off. May have to work if the husband dies. May need to work to help the children go to college. My wife didn't go to work, public work, until the kids got up to college age to assist in putting them through college. And somebody else is mocking her mother doing the same thing. And so that's another advantage for doing that. But it's after those formative years. I would strongly urge mothers to not work at a public job outside the home before the last child starts school, if at all possible. Okay? Wouldn't condemn it, but if at all possible, do not work out of the home till that last child goes, at least goes to school. They're 6, 5, 6, 7 years old. You might disagree with that, but that from my experience, I've seen. All right, we've got a lot more to go, but I want to read this prayer that I located. It's the Homemaker's Prayer. Okay? Lord, we thank thee for this sink of dirty dishes. We have good food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty laundry. We have nice clothes to wear. I would like to thank you for these unmade beds. They were all comfortable last night. My thanks for this bathroom, complete with soggy towels, splattered mirror, and grimy lavatory. It's still convenient. Thank you for this finger smudge refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served us faithfully for a long time. And inside are cool drinks and enough leftovers for another meal. Thank you for this oven, which absolutely must be cleaned. It has baked many good meals over the years. Our whole family is grateful for that tall grass that needs mowing. We all enjoy our private yard. Thanks for the slamming screen door. The children are healthy and able to run and play. Lord, the presence of all these chores awaiting me says that you have richly blessed this family. I shall do them all gratefully and cheerfully. Amen. Author is unknown. I found that in God's Plan for Parenting, page 22, edited by Kevin Maxey. And some examples of mothers rearing their godly children, the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman would be the first. How about Eunice? She says she was genuine faith, or critical faith of Eunice, 2 Timothy 1:5. Take Sarah, that we talked about, Abraham's wife, and of course Mary, the mother of Jesus. Lastly, the cycle of life. And this was going to be tied in with the grandparents' role, which will have to be another time. As the preacher stated in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 8, everything has a time. May I also take the liberty to add, in rearing children, there is a time for the quiver to be filled, Psalms 127, verse 5, and a time for the quiver to empty out. Sometimes you've got to empty out the quiver. You've got to let them go, don't you? And we'll, again, appreciate comments, questions, and I hope you gain something from it. Next week...